Raise one hand, let's sing together. Dear Father, name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we welcome revelation of your word without hindrance or distraction, either from our hearts or in the atmosphere. We believe and receive a free flow of revelation knowledge in instructions, wisdom, and insight. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, he is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. All right, Matthew's Gospel. We'll move quickly. What I intend to do with this series is, and I'll speak about it today, we'll look at this. By next week, we'll wrap this angle of this series. I intend to teach this till about August. Then we'll start dealing with certain things that I'm going to mention at the end of the teaching. So, pay very good attention to it as we teach. Yeah. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and that word as the word Genesis in the Greek is the word Genesis or Genosos, and which means that the writer, which is Matthew, intends, we go back to Genesis chapter 5 verse 1, where we have the same rendering, the book of the generations of Adam, in the day that God created man in the likeness of God made him. Now, interestingly, he wraps up, right, opening up Jesus as a Genesis man. Then he closes by saying, verse 20, chapter 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So he brings to bear the humanity of God in the four Gospels. So the four Gospels is the humanity of God. The writers, the four Gospel writers, intend that we should read this as God's human story. God's human story. Now, is there a background for that? Yeah, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. Notice that you have seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. Have you know, the Genesis vocabulary uses seed for children. So seed of the woman, therefore, is a generation, a Genesis. So you have seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, and then the seed of the woman rules the head of the serpent. So you have the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and that brings all that together. So he intends you go back and read and see that he's describing the same person who is God and man. So he closes by saying, I am with you. I am is God's name, his redemptive name, you know, from basically between the Exodus, but you see that in Genesis 28 as well, as he spoke to Jacob, I am with you. And of course, Exodus chapter 6, from verse 2 to verse 7 and 8. Then you have Luke. I'll skip Luke a little bit. I'll go to Mark first for the purpose of today. And it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're going to look at that again. The concept of sticking with Bible terminologies is very critical. The Son of God, the book. This is the beginning there. Again, it throws the word Genesis back to us, of course, in another synonym, RK. Now, on Sunday, we did look at this in the two services. I recall we looked at how the Bible came to us, right? Remember that? Come on, remember that? Why different authors wrote differently the same things. And we did that study. We're going to continue it again on Sunday because these are important things that we need to know about the scriptures. Now, you see, Matthew uses Genesis. Mark uses RK, beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which means he intends to point us back to Genesis. Then you have Mark 16. Again, for the purpose of this teaching, I'll stick to 19 and 20. And it says, so then after the Lord... The Lord. Now, kurios, if you translate that, is a study we want to do later in the year on the name of Jesus. If you take that to the Old Testament, it comes with the word Adonai. That is, when you see Adonai, you have kurios. Adonai, Master Kurios. And that's another shade of Yahweh. Exodus, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord." You have Adonai, your God, Elohimu, is one Lord, Yahweh, the Lord your God. Alright? The Lord your God is one Lord. Or the Lord your God is one, the Lord, Yahweh, your God, Elohimu, is one Lord, Adonai. So he calls God Lord. And by using a cat there in Romans 6 and 4, he brings in the unity word, where you have a singular entity distinguishing personalities. So by saying here, the Lord for Jesus is saying to us again that he's God. He closes that way. The Lord your God is one God, one Lord. He says, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received unto heaven and sat on the right hand of God. The Lord at the right hand of God, bringing both the humanity and divinity, the Lord at the right hand of God. Then he says in 20, they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord. Again, Kurios, which is Adonai, another expression of Yahweh God. Alright, it says, and the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. By saying the Lord walking with, it means he's ever present. He therefore highlights his divine being to us. They have John's Gospel 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we said this is Dabah Yahweh. It has, you have D-A-B-A-R or D-A-W-B-A-R, where you find that in Genesis 15:1-2. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision speaking to him. They have Genesis 15 verse 4. And we saw that also in the life of Samuel, Elijah, and Samuel, Elijah, Jeremiah. We saw the word of the Lord is his visibility. You have that as, you know, the word logos, because that's Greek. But you have Dabah is Hebrew, which is where this is taken from. In John's Gospel 20 and verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, the mystalicized there, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And we said that the word breathe there is emphasal in the Greek, has no shade of semblance in New Testament Greek. And I've explained that to us because we've said John's gospel is very unique. Remember that? Remember that? But he takes his rendering from the Septuagint, where you have Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and then breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Breathe there is enfusao. So in other words, he brings to our attention, Jesus is the Genesis God, is the Genesis promised man, okay? Then he is the fulfillment in the four Gospels. Luke does the same thing. I just wanted to point out the verbiage. How they wrote, the styles are different. For as much, Luke 1:1, as many have taken in hand to set forth in order declaration of those things which are shortly, most assuredly believed amongst us, even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order most excellent Theophilus. Because, again, reiterating the fact that we've said that this is conferring a fact on this book that it's the A part of the book of Acts. All former churches are old Theophilus of all that Jesus began to do and teach, Acts 1:1. But look at Luke 3. Luke 3 and verse 38. Seen this before. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son, that's Enosh in the Old Testament, son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was Son of God, or of God and Jesus. Again, it wasn't broken in the piece. It's broken in King James. Was not broken in the original letter, original piece there. So, and Adam of God, that is Jesus. Right? So Adam is of Jesus. He therefore confers on him, again here, the fact that he's God. But look at Luke's Gospel chapter 8. Saw that on Sunday. Just want to reiterate it again. Sometimes you look at the verbiage, because I've heard people criticize some of the four Gospels, the synoptic precisely, I mean Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as having what is usually termed low Christology. That is, this doesn't show, there's no definite, you know, articulated fact about Jesus being God, but that's not true. I just read one to you. Now, the other one you see, Luke 8, where Jesus cast out demons. Because, and then this man, Alban of Gadara, from verse 26, for our time will save reading everything. Now, 35 says, and he went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Of course, at the feet doesn't mean that he's geographically at his legs. It simply means he is learning from him, and is being trained. So 36, they also which saw it, told them that what means that he was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of that gatherings round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and they went into the sheep and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were cast or were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, now, I want us to read 39 together slowly. I'm going to read the A part, you read the B part. So I'll read the A part of 39. The words of Jesus, then we'll read the words of Luke. Are you ready? Okay. Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. Let's go. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done to him. See what Luke is doing. Luke is saying Jesus is who? God. Excellent. That's the style. Okay? Jesus said what God has done. Because it's obvious that Jesus did it. So Luke, therefore, appoints Jesus as God. And Luke 24 again. And I'm going to read verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 27 is very vital. Now, interestingly, 27 has been tilted more as a book, as referring to the Old Testament as being prophetic about Jesus. And that's not a lie. But it doesn't carry the entire intent. Because he says, and begin at Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, is Jesus male only or singularly, exclusively talking about prophecies? Oh, of course not. To say a book talks about you, we mean you are a major personality in there. Obviously, Jesus is saying here that if you look at the books very well, you're going to see me. That's not just about prophecy. In 44, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. The emphasis there should not be lost. In other words, he is a participant in the books of the Old Testament. Now, we're looking at, of course, being led by the Spirit, leading of the Spirit, you were witness, etc., etc. And the core of what we need to see is, Jesus is not leading people, not leading us, or leading people in the New Testament for the first time. So, taking good care of words from the Old Testament will help us a lot. Now, I want to talk about this today. I'll just skip it till Sunday. And it was interesting. I only said it on Sunday. I couldn't do it on Sunday too. It's about something that I would let you know later why, but I had to correct this because I'm of the opinion that that many of the translations should avoid the use of pastor. Now you weren't quiet, right? I'm of that opinion because it's a bit misleading for many reasons I'm going to show you. But because if again we take our verbiage from the Old Testament, we'll see a better phraseology that agrees with text. And I also found out really that it should not be there. That's all for now. Because if I start out there, I'm going to be tall totally. But the reason why I want to point that out is the way we must read the Old Testament. And read it very well. It illustrates the words of the New Testament. That's critical now. It illustrates it. So let's just go straight to the point here so we don't waste time. So we have the leading of the Spirit. Now, what does it mean? Now, the question I put in my notes here for you Why must I be led? Have you ever thought about it? Why must I be led by the Spirit? Why must I be led? Why must I give? You know, you have people sometimes, I was watching someone speak some time ago, and not too far from today, might even be today. And they were asking about the church. And the fellow was just talking, and I was like, you mean this person doesn't know what the church is for? He just went on and on, and of course, he's been spoken to or spoken with by there were believers there, they said so. And they were asking questions about the church, about, you know, stuff, and he was answering. And I felt, he doesn't even know what the church is about. So you ask, why do I pray? Now, one of the ways you know why you should ask that question is because there are things you thought you were praying for that you go without praying. You don't know them yet. So why were you praying? You should have, some folks will, one of the things that the preacher addressed today, some folks will be so prayerful in Nigeria, and they really very prayerful, then they have a cause to leave the country and go abroad. Depends on the abroad part, but just out. Some guys, all they want to see is another skin. And they're in Zion. So he goes abroad, and then he just discovers that many of the reasons why he was praying here, a few things like, let there be power when I get home. Right? You know, you have some miracles, like there was a guy like that who shared a miracle how his TV wasn't working, then he anointed it, bam, it started working. You know, stuff like that. Favor. And you go to places where things just seem to work. And you got no favor. So he looks at it, then the reason why he won't believe in God for divine healing, because he couldn't afford hospital bills. So he now has health insurance. So he's not really as concerned about security. That's not totally true. Because he feels he's confident, you know. I mean, the first thing he knows is that he can't build a fence in his house. Why? Because the government is your defense. That works somehow, right? I should be a motivational speaker someday. You don't need a fence. The government is your defense, so nobody will give you to offense. I could try it someday. Where are we? So, these things, that someone told me this, he said, I'm in a country where I don't need a husband, I just need to get sperm. That's all true. So, all this, give me a spouse or I die. So, they don't have good for such programs. And, you know, in society, nobody's going to stress you if you don't have a child. And everybody says, how are you doing? You know. So, but here, you know, start looking at your belly. So all the prayer points are gone. You're at work. You know. So, how am I praying? So you don't have to go for deliverance services except if your stay is in question. Probably didn't get that well. You know, so why do I pray? Amen. You just like, if you're in the university and you have to pray a lot for your exams, it means you've not been reading. When you are well read, in fact, you abandon prayer sometimes, so you can read. So, why then do I pray? So you have people castigate prayer. They say, big nations are not built by prayer. They now show you China. A Christian wrote it one day and I said, you should be ashamed of yourself. He said, look at China. They are godless. They don't serve Jesus. They don't do that. You know, so in this social media era, some people think that when they are talking to the social media, they are the judgment seat of Christ. So they must satisfy the people. Say, yeah! This is a conversation we are going to have this conversation one day. Just go to hell. You know, say, someday. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, don't go to church. Some are building churches, some are building factories. So to me, he said, look at these nations. All the factory churches are taking over. I said, how did they just enter? They are just taking over the place. Rather than raising people, industrialists, they are raising people to go and be preaching. A Christian is saying that. Are you sure that one doesn't have 666? Better check his forehead very well. Thank God those who have afro, check it very well. Yes. Yours is 666. Tell you the prayer. I said, come here. Come here. You are a Christian. A nation that they are persecuting Christians. You are clapping for them. It's not your fault. So why do you pray? So why do I need to be led by it? So that I can succeed in life. And the people you are looking out, when you say, I want to succeed as a lawyer, if you are in this congregation, I'm not the model. I said it because of you. You may say, I want to be a lawyer like Pastor. You'll be hungry. Do you understand? But you look at some people say, hey. The guy takes retainership for one of the major companies, they give me $1 billion per year. And he has no church. In your mind, you say, I want to be like that. But you say, I want to be like Pastor just for church conversation. So you say, so why am I being led? Say, so that in life I can make it. Why am I being led by the Spirit of God? It's not to pass exams. If you're a student. I remember, have I said this before? I don't know whether I want to repeat it again. That's why there's one meeting like that we had in Ogbomosho. I didn't participate like that. Because I was a bit careful. So one of my friends. And they set him up. Naturally, he functions well in the office of a prophet. Excellently. So that's why some people say they had the exams. Pre-degree students. PDS. They say, they just said, you know. So it was not pushed to be giving them expo. That's how he kept saying this one. Now I was looking. The first reason was they were all science students. So I couldn't have said anything. I'm just saying this. You know, the long and short was that all of them failed. You know, I think it was one who was arguing with me about a pastor. I knew about his name. I said, but Rabbi. I said, but this thing, no, this is a rabbi. It was about 6 years ago. He said, I think he read this book we had on prosperity. Then I said, what's the advantage of the believer? So I said, you don't make a first class. He said, no. Were you not a believer? He said, yes. Were you not filled with the Holy Ghost? Were you a pastor? He didn't make 2 months. I said, no, I stopped. So what was the point? He said, I'm just thinking, can we not annex it? Have you annexed it? I said, have you ever tried to bid for a contract before? He said, you will call people inside and outside. He said, what's the price that you are bid? You don't say, Holy Ghost, what are they bidding? You said, this world is not my home. So, later on, he called me back and said, I didn't get you there. And I understand. I said, I don't preach for people to understand me immediately. Years down the line, you understand. He said, that was that song. You understand it better by and by. Because it's the truth. So why am I being led? Why am I giving? So I'm giving to break the back of poverty. And you know, see that, Danny. The back of the poverty is not strong enough. When it's strong enough, you find out to do with your money. You have to do MMM. So why then do I give? You know, you have to ask this simple question. Why? Why? Why must I be led by the Spirit of God? Now look at Luke 4. Are you here? So I say, I was doing last week I did Zoom counseling for some couples, married folks. So I say, the husband said, she said she was led. She said, what if you did not tell me to you were led? I said, we are late. All of us were late. So I said, you think because somebody is led, it will work? And the two of them were just, I said, come now. Later on, we resolved it. I said, I'm led. I'm led. He said, praise, relax. Was God not led to you? Let me stop there. I don't want to give too much information out. Verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit of the wilderness. We've seen this word before. The word ago. A-G-O. Every time I say A-G-O, because I used to sell petroleum products, it looks like this one. Ago. 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 Ego. Okay. So, now, of course, this takes us back to Deuteronomy 32. Because by using wilderness, Luke wants us to go back and read the Old Testament. So the reasons why Jesus was led is why I am being led. Is that clear? If you get that in your mind, that's the reason why Jesus was led, is why I'm being led. That's the reason why I am being led today. Deuteronomy 32. I'll just read verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the Lord of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. He led him. Now, if you take the Septuagint Bible, which is the Greek translation, the word there is ago. A-G-O. He led him. Ago. That's the Greek. The Hebrew is the word nasa. Nasa. Now, it says he led him. Now, look at 11. As an eagle stirs up a nest, flutters over a young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings. To bear. Again, the word ago is repeated. So the word led and the word bear are both come out as ago. Deuteronomy 32. I'll read 10 again. He supplied them in the desert. This is the Septuagint, the Lexham one. In the thirst of burning heat, in the dry land, he surrounded them and disciplined them. He guarded them as the pupil. Look at it. He guarded them as the pupil of his eye. All right, just a minute. I just want to read some translations to you. That's all. Okay, so he guarded them as the pupil of his eye, like an eagle protects his nest. He so longed, I'm reading 11 now, for his young, spread his wings, he received them and took them up on his back. Took them up on his back. Now the background of that is verse 8. Now if you read the normal King James, the regular King James, it says, and when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now what I have here, the Septuagint says, he divided them, or set the bounds of the nations according to the number of the angels of God. I'm going to read some translations for you on that. The ESV, right, says, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. The New Living Translation, which I really love. If I just found it today, I never took notice of this. He established the boundaries of his people It says here, according to the number of his heavenly court. The Berean Study Bible. It said the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. Okay? Then, now, okay, the Septuagint is also the one I read now, the angels of God. The contemporary English version, now, these are versions that were able to recover the original words. They said he assigned, contemporary English Bible says, he assigned a guardian angel to each of them. Good News translations, they are modern translations. It says, he assigned to each nation a heavenly being. International Standard Version. He set boundaries for the people according to the number of the children of God. Literal Standard Version. He sets up the borders of the peoples by the number of the sons of God. New American Bible. He set up the boundaries of the peoples after the number of the divine beings. Net Bible. He set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the heavenly assemblies. Also a translation alike for this rendering. New Revised Standard Version. Now, that means versions have recovered the meaning of that text. Usually, you know, like, I think we did about on Sunday, right? We mentioned something like that on Sunday. Can you remember that on Sunday? Eh? Aha. Okay. New Heart English Bible. He set the bounds of the peoples according to the number of the children of God. So no doubt, these translations were able to depart from the concept of children of Israel. And why it's easy to understand is because when this issue happened, there was no Israel. This is Genesis 11. And put your attention also in Acts 17, Genesis 11. Remember we're looking at why are we led? Genesis 11. This is where the division came. Remember Tower of Babel? Right? Skyscraper? Huh? Temple place? Huh? Okay. For divine beings. And so, what does the Lord do? In 8, the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon all the face of the earth, and they left off the city to build, Therefore is the name of the place called Babel. Right? Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from hence the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now this is very clear. That is what Deuteronomy 32:8 is referring to. Now Acts 17, Paul, they teach the same. Acts 17. This is in Athens, Mars Hill. I'm going to read verse 40. God had made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. Does that take you back to Genesis 11? Huh? Does it take Genesis 11? Says God the church. Huh? Was that made with hands? Huh? And we said that the counter narrative of that is in Jacob, right? Remember, gates of heaven. They are both called gates of heaven. Excellent. Neither is he worshipped, verse 25, with men's hands, as though he needs anything, seeing that he gives to all life and breath and all things, and had made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined, right, the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Can we see that? Do we just read that now? Oh, good. 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So Genesis 11 implies, with Job 32, if we read it together, that when that came, God gave the nations over to sons of God, angelic beings, we call them now, divine beings, to superintend. And that's why you have the Psalm 82, you have not judged righteously, God will arise and judge the gods. I mean, we've done this study before. So, out of that, he now calls out Abraham. Genesis 12. Abraham is now called out of the same nations. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Does it work? Can you see it? He's called out from those nations to be a blessing to which? To the same nations. Good. And this is what Deuteronomy 32, verse 9 to 11 is implying or is saying. So he's led, they're led out of the nations, right? They're led out of the nations by God to fulfill God's mission, vision, and plan for the earth. So the phrase led is to fulfill God's mission for the earth. That's what it's about. It's to fulfill, because look at Deuteronomy 32 again. It's to fulfill God's mission for the earth. 32. I'm going to read verse 9. The Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, the lot of his inheritance. He found him in the desert and in the waste howling wilderness. Is that Genesis? Waste? To who? Wilderness? Genesis 1, 2. Good. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. So an eagle flutters over the nest, flutters over our young, spreads abroad our wings, takes them, bears them on our wings. The word bear, Nasa, means to carry. So again, it translates the word ago. So God, therefore, the leading of the Spirit, right, is to multiply God's influence in the earth. Leading of the Spirit is to do God's will. Okay? Will it be opposed? Can it be opposed? Good. So it's to do God's will. Okay? Again, it leads us out of the nations. Is it making sense? So the leading is out of the nations. It's a distinguishing factor of a believer or the man that God is working with. It's a distinguishing factor. So notice that Acts 17, it says that they might feel after him. So the reason why he gave the nations over to those divine beings is to seek him. Now, of course, some of those divine beings, we found out that they rebelled. We found out that some of them became what we now call idols, right? Are we together here? So, which means that the core of the leading of God is worship. The core at the background of the leading of God is worship. Don't tie the leading of God to material well-being, physical comfort, even though that can also happen. But it is not the core or the reason for the leading of God. Are we here? So Luke 4:1. Was that clear to you? Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, does that make sense? The wilderness, can it imply the world? Very good. And verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. So we said the leading of the Spirit can bring temptation. Opposition. Good. And you look at the core of Jesus' temptation, the core of it was worship. Turn stone to bread. Bow down. Jump. The core of it is worship. Worship means service, obeisance, reverence, honor, sacrifice, respect. So Paul, Romans 8, learning something. One has to look at scripture. And you have to be careful not to... one thing I was explaining to a pastor earlier was the kind of ideology that has come. And we have to change. And I'm going to stay a bit on that for a while in services. I would be looking at some of those things that have become age-long belief systems. Something that got my attention, due to work I've been doing of late, is that there are certain belief systems that are prevailing in the body of Christ that are not correct, but they've been around for hundreds of years. And you look at the scripture, it's not in the Bible. And they have been, taken in. And so well, I was saying something with your pastor on Sunday, I had to stop. Because all of them looked at me like this, and I said, no, I'll explain to you guys later. You know, and you see that it's a belief system that even the body of Christ has. But it's not the text. It's not the Bible. So, in looking at those things, that's why we look at things like end time, remember? You know? And I mean, I'm sure you look at it again and start laughing. How did I reason like this? You know, I remember someone was saying that, so, Antichrist is not somebody who will take the nations. Nation will call. It's just a false belief. You know? Antichrist is Antichrist is somebody that, you know, put 666 on your head. The 666 itself is controversial. You get it? So, sometimes it's just a believer renewing his mind. And it's, like I often say, when a scripture is misunderstood, a major truth is often lost. And you can't worship God in ignorance correctly. It's not possible. No matter how you do it, you're afraid, you are afraid of God. And I think I mentioned that on Sunday, that torment is different. The fear of torment is different from reverence. Can you remember I said that? Huh? Was it Sunday? Huh? Second service? Huh? That you can, God will do something, you know, and that's how some people think the fear of God. That's not the fear of God. That's the fear of torment. There are two different things. The fear of God is without torment. And you have been saved from wrath. So that's not why you worship Him. That's not why you worship Him. Now, look at Paul. Again, as we have said, they are reading the text from the Old Testament. Verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now he does a word play in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. If so be that the Spirit of God, you are in the Spirit, sorry. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, again in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Spirit of life. Spirit of life. Then it says it's in Christ. Then it says in 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I remember we were having this conversation myself and my friends in the 90s about when a man is born again, does he have the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of Christ? And we're really arguing it. It was very intelligent, though. He is the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God. You know, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, Paul does the Old Testament word play here. That the Spirit is life because of righteousness, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus, look at the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead, so it mentions Jesus, then Christ, from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit which dwells in you. Again, the word play. He interchanges Christ with God and the Spirit together. And that's the Old Testament vocabulary. So here we have 14. As many as are led, the same word are God, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That clearly is Egypt. So he's reading the same text we just read to fear. But the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba Father. Spirit of adoption, euthesia. Now, euthesia, Strong's Concordance calls it to place you or appoint you into a divine family. There are two words used, hoios, used for an heir, a replica, a representative, and titemi, to place in. So, and that same word is in Romans 8:23, is used by Paul, Romans 8:23. Adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, Romans 9:4, which pertains to the adoption, Galatians 4:5, and Ephesians 1:5. So what is Paul doing here? He uses the spirit of the Son, spirit of adoption, spirit of the Son, and says Spirit of God. So he calls Spirit of God, spirit of the Son, spirit of adoption, spirit of Christ, then it also calls the spirit of the Father. So what's going on here? Now, if you look at the Old Testament, it plays the same, you'll see the same pattern. Genesis 1-2. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. Pneuma of God. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. What we read now, or earlier on. And verse 10. He, the Lord, just as the Lord, the Most High. Verse 8. Led him about. The Most High led. Isaiah 63. Oh no, before we get Isaiah, look at Exodus 23. Verse 20. Behold, I send the angel, my angel. I think I should know something. It's not an angel, it's my angel. That's the Hebrew. I send my angel before thee to keep you in the way, to bring you to the place that I have prepared you. I send my angel. So you find the Malak Yahweh, which is another rendering of the word of the Lord or Jesus. Beware of him, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name or my essence, my reputation is in him. Now in Psalm 78, you'll find the same illustration. Verse 40, rendering. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. He calls that Malak Yahweh the Holy One of Israel. Verse 56. Yet they tempted him and provoked the Most High God. And kept not his testimonies. Most High God. Isaiah 63. So, Most High is messenger. That is, when you say Malak, Malak is descriptive. It's to describe an activity. He carries a message. Isaiah 63. Verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praise of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness towards the house of Israel which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. He said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. He was their savior. In all their affliction, pay attention here, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence, Exodus 23, saved them. In his love, in his pity, he redeemed them. He bore them, he carried them all days of old, and they rebelled, and vexed his Holy Spirit. So, you can see the word play. Can you see it? Most High God, the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the angel of God, now you have the Spirit. So, Paul runs through those same words in Romans chapter 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Then he calls the Spirit of God the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus. So Paul is definitely rereading the Exodus story for us and saying we are standing in that same office now. So being led by the Spirit of God can only be understood when you read God's mission towards the nation of Israel, towards Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and etc., etc., you see that's how you understand what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. So in verse 16, learning something? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Bears witness. Okay? Some material, S-U-M-M-A-T-U-R-E-O, T-U-R-E-O, some material. It's two words, S-U-N, which means together, then martureo, M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. Now this can only be explained by saying God in the midst of the nation of Israel, leading them. They now say the Spirit bears witness. Now that word bears witness, you see it in Romans 2:15. bearing witness. Romans 9:1. Look at this. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. That means my conscience in the Holy Ghost. What it means here is we are walking together. Okay? So we are walking together. We are walking together. The Spirit is walking together with us. Now that's instructive. The same way we can only distinguish the angel of the Lord, the Spirit, and the Most High, it's the same way he now uses the word some material, walking together. So, as we call it today, Trinity, the indwelling of the Spirit gives the believer an identity that reflects the Trinity. You will say the believer has the Spirit, and you are wrong. You will say the believer is the Spirit, you are still not wrong. So, the believer takes on the identity of God at the new birth. Not that he's God. He reflects it. So the word son, oios, will mean that God, right, has tabernacled with this man and he now reflects God. So we are led by the Spirit of God to fulfill God's plan. We are led by the Spirit of God to fulfill God's plan. To fulfill God's plan. Oh, does it mean that I can't think myself? If I go out now, is it the Spirit of God? Is it the plan of God? No, we're going to see how our natural choices are affected. We're going to see that. That's where we're going to after this part of this series. So, like we have said, we have different streams of that leading. Just track back again and see that in describing the nation of Israel, we saw that God led them different ways, right? Supernatural beings, please answer. Visions, utterances, impressions. Yes. Okay, no, sorry, I skipped the flow. The written word? Written word? Something he had said before. So, notice that the entire leading is because of the promise he gave to Abraham, which was interred in the bones of who? Joseph. That's why people like Brother Hagin will say, the leading of the Spirit does not contradict the written word. So I am being led to fulfill the written word. This is how I used to teach it back then. I had to change it because people were really getting me a bit confused. I said that the Spirit inspires the word, the written word. So every time I look at the written word, it is the Spirit within me that I'm seeing in the written word. Because the Spirit within is the Spirit that inspires the writing. So the words of God's leading agree with the written word. They should. So the written word is why God gave them the Spirit. God gave them the Spirit because of the written word. The revelations are because of the written word. And watch this. You have to, as a believer, master every known method that God uses. You don't know which one you will need. There are times that, and this is how, I told you that in this series, go back to teachings on leading. Can you remember I said that? You must also know where dreams work. Dreams. I've been led by dreams before. It's not a major area, but I've been led by dreams before. So, you must know. Right? All those things. Supernatural beings. Visions. Utterances. Impressions. You must master each one. Because they are all in the leading of the Spirit. The inward witness. What about the assembly of saints? Huh? Were there things that God said only to everybody? For example, look at the fast we have now. And I'll share this on Sunday too, that when a believer, right, if you're in a local assembly and you say, this, the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God set up this body of believers. Spirit of God put people over one another. Now, if I know that, I'm sensitive enough to know that this is the Spirit of God instructing me. Now, if I decide, okay, we're fasting, but I think, Neo, I won't fast. I now say, God told you. You're lying. I don't have to pray about it. I know you're not telling the truth. What people have done oftentimes is say that one he told you personally is the more important one. See, if you want Christianity like that, we're going to be in trouble. That the one that is really is the one he told you. That you have people they preach and say, know those things that he told you. So believers start doing what he told them. See, he told me not to pray again. I remember one time like that, we're going to fast. We had prayed, we had utterance, we were flowing, Star Palace, Bayeku Road. We had sang God of great courage, source of, I'm talking about 30 years ago, source of our strength, God of the Spirit. Oh, we had prayed with people. So, we said we're going to fast. One brother said, it's your senses, and we all agreed. We're going to do, I think it was 7 days fast. So I said, okay, I warmed up. Interesting, I wasn't the one that, I mean, it was me that said, yeah, you like fasting. But I just went to Brother Ayo's house. Ha! Gary. Gary Anewa. Interestingly, the beans he bought, there's one woman like that. She used to sell behind St. George. I love that woman's beans. And I used to buy it at night. But the way he preserved it into the morning means he deliberately wanted to offend the fast. So I go, bro. And he just said, you know, that as he was preparing for the fast, the Holy Ghost told him that his own fast is not yet. So another brother came inside. That one just said, that, thank God though, that he was thinking the same way in the morning. And I said, you can't question people that say that's how they feel. What are you going to tell them? You want to go and ask your pastor for counseling? Sir, God told me. That's the end of the counseling. You should be smart. I learned this as a younger Christian. When you go and meet someone in authority, you say, I seem to perceive. I seem to feel. Like I'm saying, but when you say God told me, but I say, let's just agree over what God has told you. That you do it. So I just say, we're seven brethren. Seven. Perfection. All the brethren didn't fast. So I just told myself, I'm going for 2 weeks. That was God that told us. And I knew it was God. And I just said, no, it's God. Then, you can go ahead. If you are persuaded, we have to be persuaded, brethren. We just be preaching, someone just get up and say, he's not persuaded to hear the word. Oh, this. So he spoke like that. And you notice that in the nation of Israel, and we're going to say in the book of Acts, anyone who goes beside it is called disobedient. No matter where I have this personal lemma, when you're a local church, that's the will of God for your life. What he said there is the will of God for your life. The only reason why you start to feel funny, you have stepped in the flesh. Simple. That's why the local assembly will war and wage war against strife, disunity, dishonor, and those kind of things. Because if you walk in it, there's trouble. The long game. It's the long game that you're going after. So, you have to master each one. You have to know how to hear God in the teaching series. You have to know how to hear God when you're having workers' meeting. You have to know those things. Master hearing God well. So, let's see a few things. He gives information. There are things like that. So why would God lead me, for example? Why would he say certain things? Some of us need to know, for example, how to use the inward witness. The inward witness could be for what? I remember someone was praying about, she found out about a brother she wanted to marry, so she now asked me, what should she do? I said, the inward witness in that scenario, because I understood what she says. I said, it is to know, to help you make a decision. That decision is your own. Because people will just push it back to you. So what do I do? God didn't tell you. I'm the one that will tell you. So you look at 1 Samuel. We look at the human to him, right? We said it's when you want to take a particular decision, which one? 1 Samuel 28. Verse 6. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. I'm going to just talk about that briefly. Not by prophets. God also has individuals that he will place in your life. He will have, and you know you can, I left something Brother Higgins said to Gloria Copeland and Kenneth Copeland years back. They asked him a question, and he said this. Brother Higgins said, watch how God leads you. You can master how God leads you. You already know that when you hear your pastor, there's this, when you have your friends, there's this thing that they say. I'm not talking about friends that will tell you, you have a mission in Canada. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying real, real ones. Not some guys will just be looking at you and say, you know, yeah, let's forget that. So, you have those people. There are people like that. You just recognize them. That's why I was telling your pastor on Sunday, I said, look, why do you think I listen to you? I trained you now. I taught you. But I still listen to you. You know why? Because I know who you are. I know you can be led by the Spirit I taught you to be. So when you are talking, I am listening to you, not as someone I have trained alone, I'm training, but someone who is in an office in the body of Christ that is qualified to speak by the Spirit of God. Simple. That's how you should see it. And I'm grateful to God, I'm able to easily do that for anybody. It's not. So that's why your evaluation of people. Some people say, let me stay away from this person so I can honor the person. Your canality is smelly. You don't have to do things like that. You have to work on yourself. Which means that God who wants to use your children, God, I'm telling you many times, don't join anybody. Write what I'm about to say down. When it's happening on social media, somebody is handing over to the church, to his children. He wants his children to be pastors. He wants his children to be this one. He wants his children to take over the ministry. You know, you put your mouth. They are turned out to family. They are turned out to family. Can you imagine? The pastor is the father. The assistant pastor is the son. You are not saying your child is in drugs. I'm not joking. You have used your mouth to wear off. On the trailer. Gone. Yes. Don't join the world just stupid things like that. You read your Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you read it? Jesus' disciples, many of his own associates were his relatives. John, James, is James not his brother? That is your man. You say, can you imagine? The other is preaching, the wife is preaching. You are not saying that all the only thing your wife knows is million braids. I gave you, this is our God, you know. You ran away. I gave you healing every day. You ran away from it every day. It's the things you said. See, learn to take your word seriously. Whether you do it or not, somebody else will know. We increase. I had to wonder if one pastor called me in the church. I preached, the way I pointed out, he didn't see it like that. I said, me, I see that way. So you've never seen me say it. I don't do things like that. It's stupid. We grew up to say that is your children will inherit your faith and what you do for the Lord. You're typing. You go and endorse, you go and put like. You're finished. Your children don't be in children's church, you'll be disturbing them there. Hey, 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 hey.
You lay hands and say, don't go, Baba. Don't think I'm joking, no. God, you have said stupid things. You don't need one woman who just be kabashi. Who just bring it on. I think, you know, okay. You now get to the WCC. The day we say we should pray for ourselves, it's just that woman you are praying for. 9 hours. Your child now says, we can go and say, I have a body. You just started. So use your mouth to say nonsense. Are you following what I'm saying? Very good. So master it. When you see, I was saying to you, including music team. That's why I tell them, look at your heart. When they want to sing for special meeting, I say, what's that? You give us a song that gives us direction. That's why I'm spending time to teach you like this. So that me too, I'll be blessed by your ministry. So because of what you're pastoring someone doesn't mean you don't see the person in Christ. The person can even make a huge error and you see it like this. Know how to switch. I know who you are. I know who you are in Christ. And I'll receive from you. You follow what I'm saying this evening? Don't use your mouth and say nonsense. Is that clear? Good. So, by the prophets. Hey, I was saying this. Look at Moses. God called Moses. Look at how he described Moses in Numbers 12:8. He said, look, you, Miriam and Aaron. He said, when I want to talk to prophets, I speak to you in visions, in revelation, dark speech. He said, when it comes to Moses, he's mouth to mouth. That is, I know him. Don't you know him? There are people in the body of Christ that we resort to. There are things that we are doing in this church. I go back to Brother Hagin and I keep reading what he said. I don't bother. Why are you praying about? What are you? You know, I pray God. Picking what did he say? You, a proven voice. Void. What is you are praying about? That's how you have water. And you'll be like by the stream. And you'll be drinking your saliva. See, I speak to you face to face. Look at the book of Acts. Acts 1. They wanted to find out who replaced Judas. Was it the apostles? And they prayed and they chose. In Acts 2, it was the apostles that stood up to speak. In Acts 6, they were the ones that called the 7. And whatever they were doing, God was doing it. In Acts 13, it was so clear. Don't let anybody tell you, well, in the New Testament, we're all the same. If you join that nonsense, we're all the same. We're all the same now that you're in Christ. Those are people, when they learn new creation realities, they start to flip back with God and say, what's the big deal? What does God have that I don't have? A friend of mine has preached it before. We're doing a study. So what is man? You are mindful of someone. You said, look, that because we have the Spirit. He said, you see, the way we stand today, we are joined hairs. Go on. He said, where are you going to? Oga? Oga? He said, look, that the reason why the Spirit of God is bigger than our own. I said, why? He said, because God is three, we are one. Say, but if they are separate, we are the same. They're crazy. You see, if they are deceiving you, it's not wrong, totally. But the day you start deceiving yourself, then we will say, work is done. I said, how can you say that? We're having a camp with him, and I warned him. I said, bro, if you preach that your doctrine, I said, I will be your opponent. He said, you are too strict. I said, no, don't come and confuse my people. Because I brought most people to that camp meeting. I know them. They are not like God. you know, a pastor is very frank. I know this one, so they are not like God. They are even closer to the other side. don't come and fool me. 5 teaching services in a week. And we are still counseling. Prayer. Evangelism, and you say, you almost doubt the doctrine. So now they're telling people they are God. God declare. They are not yet God, they are proud. You know, some people, their name is just Olorun Shegun. They are behaving like the Olorun part. I said, no. You didn't preach it. I said, no. He said, are you saying that they are babies? I said, whatever you call them. Call them breakfast. Don't preach it there. There are people. Okay, we have new creation. Same word. You know, you are not saying. And Moses. You know what God told me? He said, they're not afraid. They cool down. When Moses, God told him that he can't lead the people of Israel. You know, he didn't say anything. He knows he's going. You know, when friends are talking, don't interfere. You know, they are friends. God says he's my friend. And God said to the friend, you, I told you, you won't lead them, you didn't sanctify me. They are friends. Don't say, you too, why? That's why no latter writer wrote about it. Nobody wrote about it. Moses disobeyed the Lord. Who did you? Who? Nobody wrote it. Even Paul. Nobody. Don't write me that. Someone asked me, say, but what Moses did, Numbers, was it wrong? I said, you can answer it. Leprosy. Yeah. We are still struggling with the pimples. So, but that's the Old Testament. Don't worry. Go with this. Those are only people you not write it. You are not. You get it. The people. Acts 13 said there were certain prophets and teachers. Certain. In the church. And they spoke. So the authority figures were still retained in the New Testament as those who uttered God's will. Again, Acts 11, Agabus, right? Verse 28 and 29. Certain prophets, 27 and 28. And he spoke. The New Testament recognizes offices and not offices, personalities. Why would Peter write a letter? Then he says that he gave to our beloved brother Paul. Of course, we call them functional apostles, which is right. But the truth is that certain people were given such responsibilities by God. Agabus was such a person. Acts 15, the apostles and elders. Verse 5, apostles and elders. Very specific. Acts 21, Agabus again. So that's such people that God will place around you and in your life. Know how to hear from them. Hallelujah. Turn to someone beside you and say, I know how to hear from you. I know how to hear from you. I know how to hear from God through you. And you can do that when you get home. I know how to hear from you. So you won't go and waste your time. You go and fast. Go to one place and just go say, go home. The person that will talk to you is at home. You have fought each other. You are just struggling. Because you have fought people. Go back there and go out here. So there are people that he will place around you. He will place them around you. You know, to hear. So look at what happened. He didn't hear from prophets. They were not. That means he had prophets, zero. That's all. Visions. You remember to you. How will you go to you when he has fought the priest? Prophets. He chased prophets. He has sent SMS. I'm sorry, sir. Please, mind your business. He has said, nobody is going to give me any vision. Who is about vision? You don't manipulate your life. God gave you a brain to think, man. Vision. You. Forget about it. Forget about it. All this inward witness. He's to manipulate you. Use your head. Inward witness. Zero. Everybody just looking at you. From inward witness to vision to utterance. Forget all these utterance. You'll be saying, speaking in tongues. You know, this person, is speaking in tongues. Is he not making it? Speaking in tongues. Everybody, you're looking. No! You just cut yourself off. You are now in the sea. Shh. No direction. At the end of the day, he went to look for the dead. That's what happened to Saul. He was finished. He went to look for the dead. How was he did?
And there was the Spirit of God upon a man called David that he was trying to kill. Who's following this tonight? Master it. Master how to hear from God. Like I said to you, he will lead you in different ways. The Bible ways. So I wrote this here. I said the reborn human spirit is in fellowship with God. That is in partnership with the reborn human spirit. Is in fellowship with God. It's one spirit with God. 1 Corinthians 6:17. It's one spirit. Now, of course, when you have one, New Testament is ekad in the Hebrew, which is together, just like what we call the Trinity. God in man, man in God. I didn't mention this one. 1 Corinthians 14, you know, Paul says, is there any prophet? Look, notice he said, let's speak by two or by three. Said, let the prophets, see without the prophets. In 37, he said, any spiritual, any prophets. Recognizable individuals. So, the reborn human spirit is in fellowship with God. Say, I'm in fellowship with God. You know, that's not about confession. You are always in fellowship with God because He lives in you. You are always in fellowship with God. You are never alone. I like that song by Reverend Christo Kote. I'm not alone now. God is eyes on me. I'm not alone now. You know, you are not alone. And don't say, God is not, God is no longer with me. All me is now in me. Is everything. Don't say it's no longer with me. It's now in me. Is everything. Stop saying things like that. There are times you need the one with you. Did you get it? Somebody gave you different things. You say it's one that you want. Everything is your own. God with you. God on you. God in you. God for you. Everything is you. Is that okay? Uh-huh. So you are in fellowship with God. As we have received, therefore, the inward witness will be a witness to my mind that my spirit now guides my mind. Can I say safely that my mind is in the wilderness? Can we safely say that? Huh? Can we say that? The world, the devil, temptations, even desires, right? So my guidance in the world that takes me out of the world is a reborn human spirit. And like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, if you speak in tongues, I always use this illustration in the leading of spirit for as much as 25 years, that when Paul said, when I speak in tongues, my understanding is unfruitful. So, which means at the first instance, the leading of the spirit and the mind of a man will conflict. So he said, I will speak with other tongues. I will speak the interpretation. So, which means that the reason why I require interpretation is not, has not to do with my spirit personality. It is my mind. Why? Because my mind picks up things from the world. My spirit does not. My spirit is born perfect in Christ. So my mind picks things up, picks information up, and the mind of man is a function of information, desires, and influence. So the way I think, the way I dress, the way I talk, the way is influenced. So my job is to place my thinking under the influence of the Spirit. And that is where meditation comes in. Where I now meet on the word. Now, we'll look at this next week in detail. Now, E.W. Kenyon and Kenneth Hagin, they gave this principle. E.W. Kenyon calls it steps to developing the human spirit. That's how he calls it. And I'm teaching it, you have heard me say this over years. He says the first thing is that you put the word of God first place. You put the word of God first place. You put the word of God first place. Which means that, just like Proverbs 4:20, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. He said number two, you meditate on the word. Number three, he said you speak the word. I actually believe that the first three are the same thing. Because when you meditate on the word, you're actually putting the word first place. Melitao in the Hebrew, sorry, Greek. Agar in the Greek, in the Hebrew. you meditate on the word. When you meditate on the word of God, anytime you are meditating, watch this, your mouth is always moving. You cannot meditate without speaking. Your mouth is always moving. Now let me tell you, some of you don't know this meditation. When you say something that is on your mind, I told you I don't like this. You know, for me, I'm just saying my mind. Just saying your mind is meditation. And it fixes the boundaries of your life. And like I'll say this. Someone was asking me, he said, the person said something to me. I said, you didn't even react anyhow. I said, what do you want to say? That, he said, is it that you're not afraid or you don't have fear? I said, well, I do. I'm a human being. I said, but doubt, fear, they die unborn. Except they are spoken. It's a simple principle. I said, no, I just don't express it. What did God tell Israel in Numbers 14:28? He said, the thing you have spoken, not the thing that you thought, the thing that you have spoken, said, I will do it to you. The thing that you said. The things that you said. So, in meditation, I fix my thoughts on the boundaries of God's word. Okay? So, then Brother Hagin now says, instantly obey. That's the fourth one he added to it. Instantly, fifth one. Let me say, take it again. E.W. Kenyon will say, put the word first place. Meditate upon the word. Speak the word. Act on the word. Those are the four things he says. Brother Hagin now added the fifth one. Instantly obey the voice of your spirit. That is usually, now, when I meditate on God's word, right, which involves to speak, right, put it in first place. As I'm acting on God's word, I am obeying the voice of the Spirit. How do I know I'm acting on the word? Not when I'm preaching it. It is when I start to see pictures of God's word on my mind, then I'm meditating. It will reflect in what I'm saying. Because melitao deals with brooding in your mind. Aga is to roar. It's actually to moan or roar. That is, when you are meditating, it is too strong to be quiet. No, but there's nothing called quiet meditation. Now, of course, you can meditate quietly, amen. But you start calling me. Are you the community church pastor? Pastor, you know what you taught us? Now, when we are meditating, say, I'm going to watch it now! And everybody can watch the videos. But what I'm saying is that you have to say something. You have to say something. I went to the doctor's report, and you know, when the president said, I said, you don't know what you are saying. He said, what did you say? I said, I'm healed. And as I was saying that, my heart was shaking. Okay. You cool? Say, this looks like a death sentence. Are you, it's on your mind because you're human. I said, give me 2 weeks. I didn't go back in 2 weeks. For the period, you spend time. Speak God's word. You say things. You know, I like what someone told me years ago. He said, confession is not just quoting scriptures. See, after quoting the scriptures, you now hear it in your own words. You say it in Yoruba. You get it. You say it properly. You say it, you know, you just, there's something I picked up from my father. And the way he used to say it with effortlessly. You just say, you tell him something in the evening, he say, well, God will work a miracle. He doesn't know any teaching. That's just what he says. So this is a good thing. All things are possible to him that believes. You know? And you just, imagine fixing your thoughts like that. It's not difficult to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm led by God. I'm led by God. My steps are ordered by God. My steps are ordered by God. Hallelujah. So what do you want to do? So people just say, so what do you want to do now? So my steps are ordered by God. No, spiritual like this one. Let's talk reality here. My steps are ordered by God. Because the person is also being led by something. Every human being is being led by something. Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 3 says we're dead in trespasses and sins. Alright? As he quickened. He said, and then we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now walks
in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the flesh. Our flesh, that's the flesh and the mind, and we are nature of us three, children of wrath, even as others. So, everybody is a product of an influence. We've already said it. You are not being led by the Spirit of God to acquire Amazon or to own Microsoft. No. You are being led. That is why we are the only ones that can be led, because we are sons of God. You are being led by the Spirit of God to fulfill God's will. Say, I fulfill God's will. I love to fulfill God's will. I love to do God's will. Exactly. Because when you got born again, He gave you a new heart. Ezekiel 36, 26, 27. He gave you a new heart. He took away the spirit of your flesh, gave you a heart of flesh. So you know to fulfill God's will. Amen. So definitely, we'll look at some things next week. I'll just take two things tonight and then take it from next week. Hope you're learning something. So there are actions. We're going to see it next week. So you know the ability of God's word, and you are speaking. Yeah. It's not when you are in church. Not when you are in church, yay, you can say, you can speak when you are preaching. Mm-mm. It's, in fact, oftentimes, it's when you are outside church. When brethren are not there. What the things you say? You know, I can say something because you are there. And just say, hallelujah, you know the Bible now. You know, we know who we are in Christ now. Yeah. And when I'm alone, I say, hey! Omo! Give yourself a brain, oh. That is the meditation. Meanwhile, alone. You know, I grew up saying to myself that I'll never backslide. I grew up saying that, and I used to say it a lot. So when brethren heard me say it, I said, I can never fall. I can't backslide. We were brethren together. You know, I had a meeting. So I said, ah, bro. I said, they were not praying for me. So I now entered into the room. They were praying. Say, Lord, touch his heart. Pray. I tapped and I said, pray for yourselves. Of course, now I know that they meant well. But I said, how are you praying for me? I said, please, I'm simply speaking God's word. Doesn't mean I will now. I will make errors. But I'm saying to you that I won't miss it. Do you understand? I think about it. I can never be defeated. I'll never quit. Do you understand? I'll get it right. Even when it seems like I'm getting it wrong, I'll still get it right. Do you understand? Meditate on the word of God like that. I was talking to a pastor years ago, and he told me, he said, we watch your ministry. I said, don't worry, God will give you something to watch. I said, me. He said, look at me, sir. You can't intimidate me. My eyes are seen. You can't intimidate me. He called me and said, I can see that God has been placed in the body of Christ. If I had got what you said earlier, I would have been a testimony for you. Amen. Put the word first place. And the prophecies. Some of your prophecies, just write it. Anything tongue and tongue, start writing. And you forget it at the back. The note is at the back. All your prophecies are still in church. You are fulfilling, they've gone before thee. You're only, they have gone behind you. 1 Samuel 23. There are times that God speaks to you just to tell you what's going to happen. And your decision work. One of the Urim and Thummim, is just to say, is this it or that one? Now this is David and Saul. Verse 2. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines? Look at how it works. And the Lord said to David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Okay? He went. So we said it is to endorse or refute, right? David's men went into Baal, we'll be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the arms of the Philistines? Then David yet inquired. It's not clear. He goes. The Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, and I'll deliver the Philistines to your hand. Okay? That is, are we going to lose? Are we going to win?
Did as men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. And David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Came to pass when Abithar the son of Abimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. It was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God had delivered him into my hand. Can you imagine? Everybody's calling God. For he shot him by entering into a town that had gates and bars. So God doesn't stop gossips. You know, they get to go and say, do you hear what David has done? And then Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and said after the priest, bring either the effort. And David said, O Lord, God of Israel, thy servant, look at this very well, suddenly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. He heard. You know, I mean, both of them are hearing. With the men of Keilah, watch this. That is, he had helped Keilah, he had saved them. So he's now saying, but this place now, this guy should naturally help me. I've saved them even though we do something. Well, he's just thinking. He said, with the men of Keilah, deliver me up to his hand. Will Saul come down as a servant has heard? That is, I heard something, Lord. O Lord God of Israel, I beseech you, tell thy servant. The Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, Lord, is he praying in tongues? Will the men of Keilah deliver me to the hand of Saul? The Lord said, they will deliver you up. Look at 13. Then David and his men departed. Simple. He didn't say, Lord, should I depart? What kind of a stupid question is that? That's not your choice. Like I said, Jesus says, so what do I do? I said, That's your own choice, is. I don't know whether you like the people of Keilah very well, and you want to, you know. Are you here? That's all. It's your choice. It's common sense. You say they are, you didn't even say yes. What question are you asking again? Say this guy is not a serious Christian. Should I marry you? What kind of stupid question is that? That's your choice now. I is a pronoun. Know where it fits. So there are times that it's not a definite direction, it's just an information. That's all to it. In 1 Kings 19, I'll close from here. Hope you are learning something. First Kings 19. Elisha, you know, when he heard the still small voice, we've been there, right? We studied this one, right? Verse 14. I've been jealous for the Lord your God, because the children of Israel, and he was just saying, look, I'm the only one that is left. And he's talking, Lord, we are doing the work of the ministry. He's talking. He's complaining. He's doing this. In fact, we're going to read Romans 9 now, 11, sorry. The Lord said to him, go, return to your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come, there was no response. The issue he raised was not addressed. He said, anoint Azar to be king over Syria. Jehu the son of Nimshi, thou shalt anoint to be king over Israel. Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Mesola, thou shalt anoint to be prophet in thy room. Shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Ahel shall Jehu slay, and him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall slay. He didn't even respond to what he was saying. Look at the last thing I said, the answer. What you're saying the other time? I actually have 7,000. He answered his complaint last. I have 7,000. Look at Romans 11. What Romans 11 calls it. The reason for that witness he had, still small voice, right, was to give him an information. So the inward witness, right, will also carry information. I said then, as God cast away his people, God forbid, for Romans 11:1, I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Was he not what the scripture says of Elijah? How he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, I don't like this church, this is my member, this is brother, this is right, and you are just complaining. Said, the Lord has digged thy prophets and dig down thy altars. I'm left alone. They see, but what's wrong? God says the answer of God unto him. The word answer there is crematismos. C-H-R-E-M-A-T-I-S-M-O-S. We'll look at it next week. It actually means one. It's a warning. So the inward witness could just warn us of our fleshly dispositions. Just warned him that, who do you think you are? I often tell you, there's nobody that is irreplaceable. There's something a Christian should always be afraid of. It's not, don't be afraid of anything, no doubt, but I'm just using that loosely. It's pride. The answer of God came. I have 7,000. Hallelujah. So the inward witness can be a response to our flesh. Our flesh. Just an information. So you give yourself brain. Amen. Learn something. Sometimes in the night time. The sun.